Okay, that's entertainment, and it's a big welcome back to Fanula Rabbit. Hi, Fanula.
Hi,
how good to have
you
back. Is this you back now?
Yeah, no,
okay,
this
you're
is
not
going to
keep going back and forth. We have you now. This is the team's back together again.
Yeah, no, it should hopefully now.
Okay.
That's it now. I'm over the, as I said, I was out sick there. I had a little bit of breast cancer that I had to deal with, which is all done and dusted now, thank God, over and finished. So it's just full steam ahead now for 2024.
Brilliant stuff. And it's really genuinely fantastic, not just to have you back on this item, but to have you back at Highland Radio, because we all did miss you.
I'm sure.
Although really, Michael, as you might imagine, is never too far away.
No, yeah.
I never mean, stopped emailing, never
yeah,
stopped
texting,
calling.
Texting, yeah.
Despite give it out. Protestations from within and
Greg,
not just, I would say the family as well as the bloody station.
Even when she was...
Put the phone down, Fanula.
Even when we were separated by miles, still Fanula was critical of all my TV choices by text message.
Well, that's, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, there you go.
So they fair enough.
Somebody needs to keep you on the right track.
Yeah.
Fool me once. I finished it last night. Thank God. Do you know when you're just so glad something you're watching is over?
Because it's
no,
so good.
No, it was on my list for the weekend.
No,
yeah, and I'm
is
not,
it not
saying don't watch it. You'll probably love it. Did you enjoy The Stranger?
Yeah, but well, it was the same thing with The Stranger, though. It was kind of like, yeah, at the end of it, I didn't not enjoy it, but...
It's just, it's so no. British. It's like, oh. It's really well made. Michelle Keegan's lovely in it. She's
Joanna
a good actress. Joanna Lumley is good in it as
okay.
well. She's not in it much, really, if the truth be told. It's just that everyone's a suspect. And then as you go through it, you know, they weed it all out. And then... but. Twists and turns.
But isn't
too
that
many.
Every, isn't
yeah,
that
it's
every
just,
murder
no,
mystery?
No, it's particularly, you would never see this in an American-made
okay.
program. There's just too many red herrings. Now, they don't leave any of them hanging. They cover a lot of it and they cover all the bases. And it's fine. But do you know how, you know, yeah, your thumbs down, like it, love it. I went like it because it engaged me, right? But I don't know.
You weren't enthused.
I just don't think it's as good as everyone's saying.
Okay.
Fashion-wise, Michelle Keegan, she wears some lovely clothes. So,
she's
got this particular jacket, right? She's got this particular jacket. It's a beautiful grey, white kind of a tweed, but it's like a waisted jacket, if you know what I mean. But it's a long coat, so it's like a jacket to the hips and then frays out.
That's sure a bit like going
be a huge sale on them, you can be sure of that.
That's like seeing a play and saying, my God, the seats were so comfortable.
I just think there's going to be a big rush to buy lots of stuff that she was wearing. Not from me, but I'm just saying I am.
Well, you're probably right, though, a lot about it, because you think about it, Harlan Coben is an American writer, and he's been around for years. I mean, I've read all of his stuff. I love his stuff.
I'm intrigued for you to watch it, though, Fanula. I really want you to.
I'll watch it the weekend now, because it is on my list for the weekend. I was going to kind of hunker down with the fire bag.
So we have a busy weekend.
I still
weekend.
Don't know how to light the fire. I watch telly programs, not like you.
Sorry, you actually, for the coziness, fire bags.
I don't
that's you're the person who buys them.
I don't know how to light a fire. It's beyond my ability, which I don't like to say that about anything, but I have given up on fires. Even my son-in-law over the Christmas, he had to light the fire every day. It's like, yeah, no, I can't do it. But Harlan Coben, as I said, has written numerous, numerous books. And I loved them and have always loved his books. And I always wondered why they didn't make anything out of it. Because for years, the only thing that they did was they were picked up by a lot of French.
Oh.
There was a lot of French editions of it and a French edition movies of his books and that kind of thing. And I could never understand why the Americans never did anything with it. Because you saw so many other stuff coming out. And now it's like as if UTV or somebody has bought his back catalogue. And they're making them all. You know, you had Stay Close, The Strangers. There's a few of them that have come out like that. And it's curious. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe the Americans just can't handle the amount of...
It's fine.
There's a lot of people in them.
Do you know when you watch it? Like, you watch it and there's nothing bad. Do you know what I mean? It's not. There's nothing bad in it. And the acting's good and it's well put together. It's just this. Is it that? Is it this? It's the other. I think some people love it. For me, I've never really gotten that. I think you like that kind of stuff.
Murder mystery stuff. Yeah, but
there's lots of different outs.
Of course.
So they don't just do a twist. They just fire seven or eight things at you. It could be one of them or it might be none of them. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, as I say, it's a well-structured story. It does fundamentally make sense, which is really... I have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and I'm satisfied in that. But it was a like. It was like a 6 out of 10 for me. Listeners, I know more and more of you, already many of you had watched it last week, more and more of you watched it this week. It is the talk of the water cooler, so to speak, 086 60 25,000. And if Fionnuala commits, follows through with her commitment to watch it this week, look forward to what she has to say next week. But the probably the only programme to pip that in terms of conversation, and certainly in terms of driving agendas far beyond the small screen, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. You're in it. Have you watched it? Is it on the list?
To be honest, I ended up watching the whole lot of it in one go.
That's what everyone seems to be saying.
Because
yeah.
It was very hard to walk away from it. This is a story that I didn't really know anything about. It wasn't something, you know, sometimes these things come up and you have a vague recollection of reading something about them, you know, and it's a true story. You kind of have a small bit of knowledge. But actually, I had no knowledge of this whatsoever. I don't recall ever seeing it anywhere. And to be honest, that is too... I should kind of slap myself on the wrist for that, because even though it didn't happen in this country, it could happen in this country, it could happen anywhere, and it could happen in any industry. And I would imagine that this could end up being something that we hear about in different industries where it's come up. For anybody that hasn't seen anything on it, basically the story of it is back in the early noughties, a number of postmasters in and sub-postmasters. So this is like people in small little villages that had like the little cafe and the post office is basically that little squared off corner in the corner of your either local shop, the local cafe, little things like that. And just little villages all over the place. So it's not talking about now like a big, the GPO type situations or anything like that. It's more the small little village post office. But a number of them found themselves in a situation was when they were totting up at the end of the day that they found that the book, that the till wasn't, for lay words, that the till wasn't working out. And it turned out that in their contract they had stated that they would put the money in so that they were responsible for any monies that were out. Now, you'd say to yourself, that's all right if it's a euro here or a pound there and a pound there. But this ended up that it ended up being thousands and thousands and thousands of euros. There was people who had to remortgage their houses. There was people that had to, borrow from family and friends. And the whole time through it, what happened was that if you went and argued that you didn't understand what was going on, the post office were reluctant to send anybody out. And they just kept saying, well, the computer says you owe this money. The computer says these were people, as I said, that were living in their communities that weren't necessarily tech savvy. It was the early 2000s. There was a lot of them would have been older people. There was a lot of them that, you know, didn't really have any kind of technical expertise in this area. This was all new to them, you know. They had other people that were dealing with that for them in their own businesses and that. And also these were very high standing members of the community. So when they went to fight these things, eventually, if they didn't pay the money, they were fired from their positions and a lot of them were prosecuted.
And we spoke to a lady just on the Donegal Derry border there during the week. 6,000 euro just apparently went missing. She just escaped prosecution, but she was very intimidated, brought into a room with four guys and says, you know, you've done really bad here, blah, 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 blah. It destroyed the business in the end and she had to leave the business. But the worst is and because I questioned and asked her the question, disadvantaged having not watched the programme, like, did no one say, you know, this is happening to so many people that individually all of these... It was being siloed. People were being told, no, it's only you, you're the problem,
This is exactly what happened.
The cover-up was disgusting.
Now, obviously, it's a drama, and I'm assuming that there was some license taken.
Well, she said it really was spot on, actually. Well, not contradicting
you. Yeah, no, look, I have to say, I'm only saying it just in the sense of, you know, when people are trying to do a drama, obviously, they're trying to hit home.
Yeah.
Now, there has been a lot of commentary to say how correct it was in that, but it's absolutely frightening if that's true. I mean, there was a gentleman that worked for the union for post office, for the sub-post office people. He went in to Fujitsu, which was the name of the company that actually ran the computer system. And apparently he was, according to the drama, he was shown, brought into a room with a load of tech guys who were working in the background of it. And they showed him that you could actually manipulate and change figures. And when he left there, after they'd been told that there was no way for anybody to log onto your individual computer, there was no back entrance in, which is unusual, to say the least. If anybody works in computers would know, usually the manufacturers have access. But they were told there's no way anybody else could, so therefore any errors that were happening had to be the individual's person. But he saw this, and when he got home, the post office auditors were there, and it turned out that his wife had made a mistake, and she ended up almost going to jail. That she had been there during the day, which gave a very big sense, and the kind of feeling from the television program was that they had been set up. This is the way that it sort of looked. But it seemed to have been unbelievable. There was just a denial within the post office that there could be any issue. There's a massive cover-up. Then the person that was leading the post office received an honours from the Queen, which really kind of got up everybody.
She handed that back this week.
It's just been unbelievable to be seeing it. Like, so over a million people signed a petition after the
And then she handed it back rather than being ripped from her. So isn't it, say something too, though, that it takes a drama, albeit very well made, to trigger this the expedience. In other words, she's lost her honour. The government have now committed and laid out a figure for quashing sentences and compensation. You know, it's scary, isn't it? Because I did see a little bit of it, but for me it was just the post office scandal and it didn't grab my attention. Do you know what I mean?
I
couldn't have explained it to you in a few sentences.
I know, absolutely. And it is quite complex, and it is very, and it's interesting because it's, and obviously I suppose as well, it happened in another country per se. You know what I mean? It's not on plus that the issue is in. But I think what's interesting about it, and I was listening to other stuff afterwards where a lot of journalists were talking about it. I mean, a lot of journalists, the first main story that came out about it was in 2009. And at that point, it had been going on for a few years. And there had been people that were contacting the post office. There was people that were contacting government, contacting their local MPs. But it took until 2009 before it actually was brought to a head. It went on then until 2019 when they finally had the case, which was the main case in which they were received some compensation from the post office, but where 500 sub-post office postmasters came together. So that was over 10 years that took in order for it to do it, and now it's still going on.
That's
now.
Crazy. So what would you give the show out of 10?
I have to say it was an unbelievable thing to be. Yeah. If as a program, even in itself, even if it wasn't a true story and you didn't realise that these
and then
were
it didn't have the cultural
lives,
impact, yeah.
I definitely really enjoyed it. It's very well done, very well made. I would definitely be giving it a 9 or a 10.
I
sat down and watched the whole lot together.
I'll have it watched by the weekend.
It's a very interesting story. And as I said, the idea that this government body could just keep saying, or any big organisation could just keep saying to people, no, it's only you that has that issue. Mm-hmm. And that they could just go, no, the computer said, as somebody, one of the journalists was saying on it, I think it was Ian Hislop, and he was like going, it's like as if they just took an attitude, the computer says no. Like
it.
From the little bit, and that was it.
But who was covering themselves and the damage caused to other people? Caller says, Mr. Bates, best programme I've watched in a long time. Another says, a friend recommended that I watched Succession. However, it is boring the pants off me. Should I persevere or just bin it? I think it's a kind of a show that it's for you or isn't for you, maybe. If it's not grabbing them by the... you know what's been it, maybe. But how far in are you? It depends how deep they're in. If you're in more than 3 episodes and you're not enjoying it, don't waste your time.
Well, that's what happened to me. And everyone says to me, oh, you'd love it. And I literally got about 4 episodes in and I was like, this
you binned it. Okay.
I never went back to it.
All right, okay.
I know, and everyone says, you should totally watch it, you'd love it. And I'm like, oh, can I?
I know exactly what you're saying. All right, we're going to hear Michael's reviews and more from Fionnuala next. But let's... by the way, The Secret Sound went this morning. For those of you who missed it, a lady whose name escapes me at the moment, and in fact, it escaped me at the time, I never knew her name. Well, she rang in, and it is, if I'm correct... if you go into a calf, the little jams that you get, or marmalades, the little white things.
The twisty pop.
No, you pull the, you know, you can't grab the corner and then you go, well, that's what I do anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was ripping the lid off one of those and she's won almost €3,000.
My
did you
God.
Know about that?
I did not.
I'll wipe the smile off your face.
In fairness, although I'm delighted it's gone. I admire people that come up with those ideas. Those.
Well, I think that one was Katie.
Some of the people that come up with it. But, oh, no, not the people that come up with the actual secret sound for him to put out. That's just torturous. I mean, it's awful. I mean, but who would even think that that's what it might be?
Well, I was sure I knew what it was. But do you know the funny thing is, and Lee will put the video up later, when you, as she was saying what it was, and as I was listening to it, then the sound dropped for me. It was like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what it was. There was one where it was him switching off his radiator, and every bloody radiator sounds different. Someone got that as well. I'm surprised this didn't happen sooner. But the clues were, it can go under your hat and in your pocket. That's what the clues, like, you know.
How is that helpful?
I'm probably going to have to field a lot of the abuse on this. Because I'm probably one of the more active on social media. But anyway, good fun. That lady has almost $3,000 going into the bank account. Beg your pardon? Stella, was it? Okay, excellent. Well, maybe she'll have a pint of Stella to celebrate. Okay, we'll be back with more after a break in about 3:50. Earlier on, Michael mentioned a show that's in Ungrian on this weekend, Exanthony's Big Gay Ball. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that now with Aoife Bella, who's in studio with us. Aoife, good morning to you.
Hello, hello. Good morning to
Thank you. Thank you so much for very showbiz. Hello, hello.
Very showbiz. Yeah, I'm here to bring the schnaz, the pizzazz.
Hey, well, don't use it all up because that's what we want from you at the weekend. Talk to us about this show, how you got involved in it.
Yeah, so tomorrow's show, it's a big old cabaret. It's this quite a fabulous celebration of some amazing queer artists, and it's part of First Fortnight, which is a brilliant mental health initiative festival to kind of make that first fortnight of January a little bit more, I think, bearable for a lot of people, which is great. I was reluctant to book myself for it because it is a difficult first fortnight, so I was like, will I do? I will. So I came up yesterday, and I'm very excited for tomorrow. I'll be doing some comedy and bring in a little bit of what I do to the stage, which is a very good Daniel O'Donnell impression, so I would really highly recommend you come along.
That sounds interesting indeed. Yeah. Do you get the full garb, or is it just vocally, or what?
Oh, I don't want to give too much away. I'll just tell you that once upon a time in Dunloe, Daniel O'Donnell opened a charity shop where he put a load of his suits on sale. And okay. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Sounds authentic. Yeah. You are originally from Donegal, of course, mm-hmm. Now living in Dublin. So it's a return home for you to perform at home.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's my triumphant return.
You performed up here much previously?
I had a show up here a couple of years ago, pre-pandemic. So that was about 25 years ago, is how it feels. I supported Jim Gaffigan, the American comedian, in Angrenon, and that was amazing because I grew up in that theatre. My mum was a stage manager there, so it's quite lovely to kind of come back and do my own thing on the stage.
So how do you define are you a stand-up comedian? Are you an entertainer? I know they're all in and of the same, but if I were billing you, how would I describe your act?
An entity, I would describe myself
Explain
now
to me
as
like
a cabaret.
Three.
Okay, all right. So when a man and a woman love each other very much, so I would describe what I do now as a cabaret artist. Yeah. So I would have started in stand-up comedy and sort of fumbled my way through that to kind of find where I wanted to be, which is there's something about cabaret that's just slightly more feral than stand-up comedy, and it's a lot more sort of live and alive and
it's
electric
expressive
and
too,
magnetic.
It?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's not to do any stand-up comedians any disservice, don't get me wrong.
Oh, of course,
it gives you just more scope, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't want the stand-up comedians coming after me now, but,
no,
but
that's
it.
I'm insulating you. So the show tomorrow, we would describe it's going to be like what it says in the tin. I imagine it's going to be a big gay ball, but mm-hmm. in how is it like a variety show, or how would you try and frame
it?
Yeah,
I think I would describe cabaret at its core is variety.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a little bit of this and a little bit of that tomorrow. You'll get drag acts, you'll get burlesque acts, you'll get a bit of whatever it is that I do, which is some ethereal, nondescript comedy. You'll get some music, and I mean, there's been conversations had about hula hoops and flames and glow stick. You know, you'll get a little bit of everything. I think that there's no way you'd go to a cabaret show and leave without seeing something that you connected with or enjoyed.
sounds to be like a real important word in this, that people will have a lot of fun.
Completely. And I think sometimes that's something that's missing from experiences, is just going and letting your guard down and having like a genuinely, absolutely fun time.
And that's not just for the audience, that's for those taking part in it as well.
100%.
The performers.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm most excited about, is getting to meet the other performers. And, you know, we'll all be coming from different places and bringing different energies and having the crack backstage too, and supporting each other through it.
And have you any other projects in the pipeline? You were the brain behind Cabareg.
Yes, yeah, that's me. So I run a cabaret myself up in Dublin called Egg. And it's based in Bello Bar in Portobello, which is brilliant because after the show you get to go upstairs and do karaoke with all the old men who drink there. Yeah,
including myself, probably.
It's fabulous. I've seen you there a few times on the mic.
I was on about downstairs. What are you on about?
I'm
not the old man doing the karaoke.
Oh, no. But yeah, we have a
lovely
thing going
on. It's hard to get karaoke now.
It is.
And you know what's hard to get karaoke too? Whereby, I don't want to be careful. I'm not insulting anyone. I'm not talking about Donegal, right? But the host of the karaoke is really a singer that can't get a gig as a singer, right?
Yeah.
So they do about 5 songs. Oh, you get up for one. MG. They do 10. Yeah. What?
I'm not going to say anything.
No, I'm not saying. I haven't seen it here. I haven't seen it here, but I've seen it elsewhere. You can't be just karaoke where everyone singing is karaoke, right?
Yeah.
And they can't sing. If you can sing, don't do karaoke. Start a band.
Right? Yeah.
Because
there's nothing worse than someone
karaoke's for me.
Someone getting up to do karaoke and they do a good job.
You sound really like Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Get off the stage. I'm going to go up and murder That's Life by Frank Sinatra. Anyway, as it may, that's upstairs in somewhere in Dublin. So that's got nothing to do with the show tomorrow night.
I know. Okay. But you can come in and see what I do in Dublin in the Bello Bar in Portobello. And I'm developing a one-person project about the life and times of Mr. Daniel O'Donnell himself.
Oh,
so
wow.
That'll be something to keep an eye out for. But tomorrow in Angrena.
Have you had any review from Daniel O'Donnell yet? Because he has been known to see acts and give them the thumbs up, the thumbs down, the middle.
That's actually what I'm here to do today, is to reach out. Daniel, if you're listening, please get in touch.
I mean, it would be amazing for the poster.
I know, it would be.
You
just
know,
the one-word review.
I think you have to work crap.
questionable, says Daniel
what?
O'Donnell.
What? No, I'm sure.
You're doing what?
I'm sure it'll be absolutely fantastic.
Thank
you. And no doubt about that. So tomorrow night, there's still some tickets available?
There's still tickets going, yeah.
Okay,
and,
so.
It'll be truly a really fabulous thing to kickstart your year with.
It sounds like, actually, it's going to be a whole pile of fun. It's Exanthony's Big Gay Ball. Tomorrow evening in Angrenon Theatre, Saturday, January 13th, which is tomorrow evening indeed. And it's as part of First Fortnight 2024. What's that?
So that's a festival that happens over the first 2 weeks of January.
Across the country,
not
Angrenon specifically.
So not just in Angrenon, but Angrenon, it looks like I've been doing a good few events around it. And you see just all sorts of performances, cabaret, comedy, music, happening. And the idea is to get people out of their houses in those first 2 weeks, because these are the 2 weeks where it's very, very easy to just get a case of the January, you know. So I think that it's there to support people through that time and to kind of give people something to get up and go out to. And
get up and get out of their seats as well. Are you going, Anthony?
Anthony.
Can I tell you Anthony Kehir? Kehir?
Yep.
He's going to be there. I can confirm that. Is Michael Leddy going to be there?
I think we have other plans. We'd still be probably tied up, myself and Fanula, with our own stuff.
No.
I know. It's terrible.
Boring.
I know. Okay. Terrible.
That's good.
But it does sound great. And you mentioned the Jim Gaffigan show. I've seen Aoife a few times on stage. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I remember that night in particular because I love Jim Gaffigan as well. I mean, it's Aoife and Jim Gaffigan as well. That was a great night. That was a brilliant
night.
That was a brilliant
night. It was brilliant. Night. Worthwhile to just have a really amazing American comedian come on stage and butcher your name. Aoife.
Yes,
here's Aoife coming through.
You just sorted out the first 5 minutes of his material.
It's a movie of his, Linoleum, which I nearly was reviewing today, but I just didn't get to it during the week. So it was nearly a Jim Gaffigan revival here, but he's such a funny guy.
Is it tough opening for a big act, Aoife?
You know, I found that gig especially tough because that was my homecoming show. I hadn't done a show here yet and it was a big one to start with. But I looked out in the audience and I was thinking, okay, there's stuff I'm going to say here and I'm making eye contact with my granny, but here we go, you know. That was okay. I think it was put a couple of hairs on my chest, and I think coming back now to do something that's a little bit maybe more authentic to what I actually really love to do is really exciting.
It's a tough one getting up on stage, and it's and you know it not from what you imagine it, but listening to comedians, it's really, really tough. And this is from comedians that tour. They've got access to smaller clubs where they can work through their material and refine it and see what works and what doesn't work. And I'm not saying you didn't have that opportunity, but to come back, open for a big act, up on the stage, the lights go on, everyone's looking at you, and you have to deliver.
Just have
I mean, that's pressure.
That's
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know when you put it like that?
I know you're successfully talking Aoife out of ever doing this again.
There's
we've now moved successfully into cabaret. We're never going back. We're never going back to the stand-up buzz. All right, Aoife, listen. Best of luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck tomorrow night, and I'm sure it's going to be great fun. And there are some tickets available if you want a. Great night out. Is it over 16s, over 18s?
That's a brilliant question. I would say come along and find out. take a risk.
Aoife's recommendation. I have to be slightly more responsive.
Old school, you know, earmuffs. Earmuffs at certain times, possibly.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just be on the side of the stage indicating, now cover your ears. Yeah, exactly. Okay. We'll look after people.
I know that. Listen, come here. It's going to be fun. All right, Aoife Abella, thank you so very much indeed. Great to speak to you, and it's great to have you back up performing here in your native Donegal. Sling that one over here, Fionnuala.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just checking to see whether or not there's if there is an age thing on it.
Oh, yes.
Recommended age is 18 plus.
Oh. Ah, okay. Right. Fair enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
fake ID. 16,
I was going to say 16-year-olds can be pretty resourceful if they need to be. Okay. Right, we don't have any time to really get into. I wish we'd have adjusted these mics slightly differently so we can still hear from everyone. But anyway, be that as it may, I don't think we're going to get into anything else more specifically. So, what is your plans for the weekend, Michael Leddy? This is content now.
We're creating content here. Well, myself and Fionnuala, because we're going to go to the cinema a couple of times and catch up on a couple of movies. So we'll have an all cinema special, I think, Friday. We're going to see Aquaman, which was...
Are you going to do it next Friday?
Fionnuala's
it's the
pick.
Highest...
More I have a feeling Donald will be in mysteriously.
Friday, I might take next Friday.
Mysteriously, I knew Donald would be in.
It's the most successful of all the DCU...
Okay, we'll keep
that. They've all bombed,
what
though.
What else?
Watching the new Jason Statham movie. We're both seeing it, obviously. Mm. We're going to see that tomorrow, The Beekeeper. And I didn't pick it, but I would have picked it anyway. The cinema picked it for me, but I was like, yeah, because I want to see it anyway. I would have gone to see it anyway. Because I feel like they're good intellectual stimulation. Look at his face.
I'm sorry, I don't know how you mean. Jason Statham.
Does it not make you think?
No,
there's rewatchable fight scenes. Scenes, we were chatting before you came
have
in.
You ever,
rewatchable
Aoife,
fight scenes.
Have you ever rewatched a fight scene? He's rewatched fight scenes. Have you ever?
From the Marvel films.
Has it ever even crossed your mind to rewatch a fight scene in a film?
I'd say potentially I've had some sort of error on the computer and I've done it by accident.
Oh, okay.
I've put it back and I'm like, oh, you know, I can't
figure
it out.
I'm sure there
are
people out there who rewatched the bus fight scene from Mr. Nobody on YouTube from time to time.
Nope. Aoife, good luck. Thanks so much.
Thank
we'll
you
see you again
much.
Soon. Fionnuala, it's great to have you back. Thank you so very much indeed. We'll look forward to chatting to you again next Friday. Sorry, Michael. As always, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Caroline, who researched and produced the show, and Shannon working away on the program as well. John Bresson's around the Northwest. Have a great weekend.